Matthew 1, and through the month of December, obviously, we're going to look at the great incarnation of Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Isn't that wonderful to know that God came and all that He did for us? We're going to look at all of that leading up to, obviously, the great, great day. We'll come through the next several weeks and dive into the New Testament and step back into the Old Testament several times to look at all that entails this great, great event that took place. Matthew chapter 1, if you will. I don't know if you're in the habit of reading your Bible through in the year, I'd encourage you to do that. You, as a Christian, ought to be reading your Bible through from cover to cover at least once a year. I know that's easy to say, hard to do, but you should be. And we ought to be people of the book, people of the Bible. We're not necessarily a church that believes in giving a 25-minute devotional type encouraging message necessarily and then sending you home. We believe in preaching the Bible. We believe in teaching the Bible. We have several opportunities. We have our Sunday school hour. We have our Bible Institute on Monday nights. We have, obviously, Sundays and Wednesday nights. And we're looking through and walking through the Bible. We got to be people of the Bible. We need to know the Bible. And the reason people today are so confused, are so out of place, they don't know what's happening, and they're fearful. I talk to people and they're scared. They're fearful about what's going on. They don't know the book. And I want to encourage you with this. Every once in a while, maybe two or three times throughout the year, turn to the last chapter of your Bible and read it and read it and reread it. Why? Remind yourself that we win, okay? Remind yourself that we're on the winning side, okay? We are not going to obtain the victory, although we are. We have the victory right now. Isn't that wonderful? Now, Matthew chapter 1. Notice down, jump down to verse 18, if you will, and this is a very familiar portion of Scripture, I'm sure to many of you, because it is the Christmas story. Lord willing, next week we'll dive into a little bit of Luke chapter 2 and looking in a little bit more detail, a different perspective Luke gives on this event that took place. Notice verse 18, though, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, notice before, and underline that word before, very important, they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now, something to remind you of, that today the Jews still believe that Joseph and Mary hooked up prior to marriage, okay? They still believe that. They believe that Joseph and Mary had an oopsie, an accident, prior to marriage. Therefore, Jesus is no Savior, Jesus is no Christ, Jesus is no Messiah. He's just a man. He's of Joseph's blood, Joseph's lineage. If Jesus Christ had Joseph's contaminated blood, like we all do, he was no Savior. He could not die for all of humanity. The Bible is very clear that it was before they came together, she was found of the Holy Ghost. Now notice verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example. Now just a reminder there too as well. It says not willing. Meaning or indicating there were people pushing him to make her a public example. You see that? Joseph, you know what to do. What's that? Why she got a little bump there? What's going on? What's happening? You know what to do, Joseph. You know the law. You take her out. Our duty is to stone her, to kill her. But notice what Joseph did. He said, no, I'm not willing to do that. Okay, continue. He's minded to put her away privily. Verse 20, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which is spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, here it is, Isaiah, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. A fascinating story, a phenomenal thing. If this event did not take place, we're in a big heap of trouble today. We believe the Bible to be true, and I know you do as well. We take the Bible literally. We don't take the Bible figuratively. I know professors in our local colleges take the Bible and say it's figuratively. It's hearsay. It's not really true. They call it the straw man argument, and they put all these things up like that, and it's not true. The Bible is accurate. The Bible is literal. You can take it. You can trust it. This event comes forth to us, and we find it to be true, that years and years and decades prior to this great event, the Old Testament proclaims that there will be this great thing taking place. Go to Isaiah chapter 7 with me. You know these verses, I'm sure, but just to reiterate, Isaiah 7, verse 14. Isaiah 7, 14, very familiar, but notice what it says. Therefore, the Lord Himself. I love this. The Bible is interesting because it plays on words. You notice it. The Lord Himself. Now, if you note this, it has capital L, lowercase O-R-D. In other places, when He's speaking of the Almighty, speaking of that God the Father, it's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. What's it saying? Well, the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. He's saying the baby's going to give you a sign. The Lord is here. This is the Lord, the baby. Behold, here's the sign. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Now, we don't need to have biology 101 here, but you know this, that a virgin cannot conceive. Okay, it's impossible. Not going to happen. But notice, here's the sign. See, people are always looking for signs these days, aren't they? I heard a fellow on TV once, and he was talking about this. He said, oh, the sign, I have the gift of signs. I can give signs. No, you can't. He's got some guy come. By the way, it came out, it was so hilarious, it came out that he actually had a guy, he had a little earpiece in, and he had one of the guys in the back telling him what to do, you know, like the Wizard of Oz guy, you know, whatever. Tell him what to do. You know, this guy down on the front row, he's going to fall over, and you walk over, touch him on the head, he'll get up and walk. Okay, now this guy, well, it happened that they actually mixed up something in the back, and the PA, it came over the loud PA speakers, everything that was happening, and they're like, oh. You know, a sign, they came to Jesus one day and they said, show us a sign. He says, I'm not giving you no sign. By the way, Jesus was never intimidated or scared of anybody. We know He's the Son of God. Give us a sign. He says, well, here's a sign. I'll give you one sign. Tear this temple down and in 3 days I'll build it again, or I'll rise again. They said, 40 and 6 years it took to build this place. How are you going to do that in 3 days? And it says that His disciples or apostles remembered what He said on that day when He rose again. Now think about this. He says there's a sign, a virgin shall conceive. Now I want to clarify a few things for you. Some of our newer Bible versions replace that word virgin with young woman or young maid. Well, we have a problem with that because it's watering down the verse. It's taking out what's supposed to be there. Any young girl can be pregnant. Any young maid can be pregnant. Any young girl, we know that. What's the clarification there? A virgin. See, as I said, he did not have the contaminated blood of Joseph in his veins. He had what? The pure, righteous, holy blood. He was God manifested in the flesh. There's an organization called the American Atheist Organization. You may have heard of them. The name is fitting. They put up billboards every Christmas. And they try to put them up on the highways and other places, big billboards. One of them, a few years back, it had a silhouette of the three wise men. It was dark black silhouette of the three guys. And it said, this year, celebrate reason over the season. It's all fake anyways. Right? That's some of the world, the people in the world we live around. Some of you dear people work alongside atheistic. Some of you, dear people, have family members and friends that you probably got to know a little bit better at the Thanksgiving table. Do not believe in Jesus. Do not believe in any of this. Think it's a fairy tale and a made-up story. Oh, friends, today we know Matthew gives us the great story of the birth of Christ. God is with us. I don't know how much clearer that could be. I don't know how much clearer that we find it throughout Scripture that God is with us. God is working today. Just the same. He was born, it says in Matthew 2, later verse 2, where is he that is born? King of the Jews. See, even these wise men from the east knew what they were doing. You know, sad day, yeah, thank you. Sad day in our state when even some of the outsiders know more of the Bible than we do. Do you know what a CINO is? A C-I-N-O? You ever heard of them? Christian in name only? We've got a lot of people like that, don't we? Christian on Sunday, not on Monday. Woe is me. Christian on Sunday, CINO, Christian in name only. I don't know about it, but I think about so many people today that are of that caliber. These wise men come and they say, hey, where is he, King of the Jews? Well, we've seen his star in the east. We come to worship him. Where's he at? And it infuriated King Herod, and Herod sent, you know, the tragic story that said that he sends his men over there, those wicked men, and they murder every little baby boy in that little town of Bethlehem, that beautiful hymn that we'll sing this month, O Little Town of Bethlehem. The prophet in the Old Testament talks about the weeping and wailing of the women of old Bethlehem, Ephrata, the weeping and wailing of those dear, precious women. Come by in those black horses, and they'd pick those little babies up and knock the mother over, little two-year-old boys, and they'd kill the baby right there in front of the mother. Can you imagine that? Why? No other birth in human history has affected the world like this has. You do your research. These atheists can do their own research. Don't do church history. Do secular history, and you'll find all of this present. You can't deny it. You and I can't do it. Let me just hasten here and say a few things. We must see that the birth of our Lord Jesus is a unique birth, very unique. It's the only one of its kind. We'll study this more in the weeks ahead, but it's unique. He was born just as he was described, as it was described in the Old Testament. Notice back in verse 18, if you will, of Matthew, it says his birth was on this wise. It was known. It was known. It was on this wise. Everybody knew this. There were things happening today. By the way, remember this, they didn't have a completed Bible during this time. They didn't have a completed New Testament. You know that. They were dealing and walking by faith, especially Mary and Joseph. And again, remember this, Miss Mary here, she was due. This was her last few weeks, if you will, and days. You dear ladies that have had children, you remember those last days. You went to the doctor and they said, well, any time now, any day now. And it gets a little nervous, a little nerve-wracking, and you get a little bit scared. And the men especially, I don't know why men get more nervous than the women do, right? They get real nervous. Honey, are you okay? Everything okay? What's wrong? We're fine. All of us that live out here, we get extra nervous because we got a 20, 30-minute drive, right? I mean, we got to be on it. We got to know what to do. They were there. Now, let's continue with this. Looking at now, they had to take a tremendous journey from where they were in the hill country, basically like where we live is where Nazareth was, Galilee, that hill country, down into the city. And again, she had to ride on that old donkey, probably side saddle. Can you imagine that? You're almost due, and she's sitting there hour after hour bouncing around on that old mule, that donkey. Can you imagine that? They had to stop every once in a while. Stop, you okay? What do you need? Everything else. And as soon as they get there, lo and behold, she's ready to go. Joseph is going, are you serious right now? In Luke chapter 2, it talks about that, what, there was no room for them. There's no room. He went from door to door and said, listen, my wife is pregnant. We really need some help. Can anybody help us? Is anyone there to help us? And they were all alone, all alone. Everything that they were going through, I can imagine, I know you can too. They probably thought, Lord, why us? Why now? It doesn't seem like things are working out the way they should. And when they should have taken the most finest silk in the world, the finest fur, the finest mink you could find, any kind of material because of the precious Son of God is being born, what'd they do? They looked around and said, we're in a barn here. Just give me those rags there. The great picture given to us, it's called swaddling clothes. Those are death rags. When you take a dead body, in those days, they'd wrap them in old rags. They'd put the body, put the oil and spices on the body, and they'd wrap that body up. It's a great picture for us that he was born to die. And Miss Mary, that dear precious lady, we do not glorify Mary like the Catholics do, but we see her as the Bible says. She was a just woman. She was a holy girl. She loved the Lord. That dear, precious lady one day would have to take that same precious body, that same baby boy, and wrap his dead, disfigured, mangled body in those death rags, wouldn't she? What a tragedy. Oh, but they didn't know the great, great prophecy. He would rise again. Okay, he was born. Notice this. It was known. These dear people, verse 18 again, when his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found of child of the Holy Ghost. Joseph, her husband, notice Joseph here. He was a just man. He wasn't willing to make her a public example. He wasn't willing to do this. He wasn't willing to put her out there. I had something to say about fellow believers, other Christians, family members, especially here in this, a spouse that'll stand up for you, isn't it? That'll stand up and say, you know what? I don't understand everything, but I believe you. I believe you. Old Saul was on his way to Damascus, wasn't he? You remember the story? What was he going to do? He was a murderer. He probably had the greatest testimony anybody's ever... I've heard several testimonies of men in prison, women in prison. I got to talk to a man in prison. Horrific things. Horrific things they've done. He did. He said, could your God love me? Yes. You don't know what I've done to children, what I've done to little kids, sick things. And old Saul was on his way to Damascus, wasn't he? Bright light shone down, said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Lord, who art thou, Lord? It's me, Jesus. You know who I am. What would you have me to do? Well, he says, go into the city. I'll tell you what to do. For 3 days, he was blind without sight. Can you imagine that? He thought he was blind permanently. He was scared to death. He was repenting. He was praying to God. Oh, I'm sorry. He got saved. We know that. Well, here comes a fella in. Remember this guy? Ananias go in there, and there's a guy there that he just got saved. Oh, great, Lord. Who is he? Hallelujah. We got a new convert. He told the church about it. And the Lord came back to him and said, you know Saul of Tarsus? What? I'm not, no way, I'm not. And I like the guy, Ananias tries to tell the Lord, you know, that's what we do. Well, Lord, you know that well, Lord, you know he persecuted the church. Yeah, I know that. Just hush up and do what I tell you to do. He goes in there and he says, well, brother, I believe you. Well, Paul goes and starts, it says immediately goes into the temple and starts preaching Jesus. And everyone's laughing at him. They're saying, well, this guy's an infiltrator. He's sneaking in the church. We know who you are. We know who you're, a liar. You're just in here trying to infiltrate. You're undercover. They all made fun of him, mocked him, kicked him out of the temple. Well, here comes old Barnabas. Barnabas was part of the early church. He puts his arm around Paul, his name now changed. He says, brother Paul, I believe you. See, there's something to be said about a fellow Christian that'll take your side. By the way, as a church, a local church, you got to come together and lock arms and be faithful to each other. And say, you know what? Hey, he's a brother of Christ. She's a sister in Christ. I'll help her out. Somebody calls you from our church and says, hey, I know it's late. I apologize for bothering you. Could you come help me out? Shame on us forever. You might want to call so-and-so. Could I maybe borrow this or that? And I may be calling some of you soon and ask if I could borrow a little bit of money, but that'll be soon. Christmas time is coming, boy. I'm broke as a joke. I'm kidding, but. You know, you think about Joseph here. He says, you know what? I'm not going to make... Now, he loved her. We know that. But it's a nasty day in a home when the spouses turn on each other, isn't it? It's a bad day. And some of you dear, dear people here have had to put up and endure a spouse who was ungodly, a spouse who was unsaved, who treated you very badly. Thank God for you standing true and not quitting on God. A lot of people are on the wayside today, no longer serving the Lord because of some sick, vile person that really hurt them. But I think about you. It's a sad day in our homes when the spouses turn on each other. But he says, no, listen, I love this girl and I believe her. I believe what God is doing in her life. I'm not going to do it. But Joseph, you know what they're going to do to you too. They're going to murder you. You know the law. Both of you will be murdered. You know the law. You two hooked up before marriage. You know, they take you out and stone both of you. That's the law. That's what Moses gave us. Joseph said, so be it. So be it. I believe her. Verse 20, while he thought on these things, I like that. You know when you meditate upon the Word of God? You know when you take time to just sit in the morning hours? Or you sit in the evening hours? And you just spend a little time with the Lord. You sit down in your chair and you sit around the Word of God and you start to meditate upon the Bible. and you memorize Scripture, you let it saturate your soul and get inside of your head. You know why it's so hard to get up on Sunday? Man, I spent all Saturday doing maybe something I shouldn't have been doing. You know why it's hard to come back to church sometime? Because it's something else I'm more interested in. It gets my attention. I'm preaching a little bit to myself. You sit down and spend a little time in the Bible. Saturate your mind about it. Think about all that God is doing and all that God can do in your life and in your home and in your local church and in your family. Boy, Wally thought on these things. I like that. The Psalms are full of individuals who, what'd they do? They just sat down and thought about things. They sat down and the word meditate comes to mind. They meditated on it. Meditate upon this. Lord, I meditate upon thy word. Lord, I sit and think about all that you're doing. And old shepherd David was out on the backside of nowhere tending to those sheep. And Samuel comes to the dad and says, get all your boys together because God has anointed one of them king of Israel. He came to the first one, you know the story, and no. The second one, no. Third, fourth, fifth, sixth, went to all of them. None of these are them, Jesse. Where's the other? You got any more boys? I mean, what's going on here? Well, I got one left. He's the youngest. He's out in the field tending the sheep. Notice David's the only one working. David's the only responsible one. David wasn't even considered a son of this man. You know how insulting that is? Yeah. Some believe he was a son born out of wedlock or born out of that the father may have had some kind of relationship with some other lady. David would later say this in Psalm 51. He says, I was born in iniquity. In sin did my mother conceive me. Not sure what that all that means. We know what it means soteriologically, meaning that we're all born sinners, but has a little bit more maybe to it. On the backside of nowhere, he stood up and he laid on his back, put his hands behind his head, kicked his feet up as though sheep lay there asleep, and he looked up to the sky, and what did he say? When I behold all of this, when I consider the sun, moon, and stars, what is man that thou art mindful of him? What is man that you would even care about little old me? And he didn't know this, but one day he'd be the king. By the way, the greatest king to ever live of any kingdom. Any kingdom. Some say Solomon. Solomon wasn't the greatest king. Solomon was the wisest man, but he ended up failing miserably. David was the greatest king to ever live of any kingdom. Now think about that. We sing a song sometimes that goes, when others saw a shepherd boy, God saw a king. When other people mock and make fun of and say, you could never do that, I can't believe it. I tell you what, I came down one Sunday morning and I knelt at the altar and I said to the pastor at the time, I said, Pastor, I don't know what the Lord wants me to do, but I feel like he wants me to serve him full time. He looked at me and said, you? I said, yes, sir. Okay. He prayed with me, very kind, very sweet. And I went forward and some people patted me on the back and said, okay, now that's a good sonny boy. Good luck with that. Okay, good job. And look where I am now, still nowhere. And you think about, he says, now listen, when God is calling you and directing you, something to be said about waiting on God. Something to be said about trusting him when you don't understand what he's doing. Verse 20, while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. Let me just clarify something. Today, we do not believe biblically that angels come and speak to us in the night or speak to us by visions. What we have in what we call this dispensation of grace, which we live in now, right prior to Jesus coming and taking us home, okay, right? That's where we are right now. We believe that he speaks to us according to Hebrews chapter 1. He speaks to us directly from the Bible. We got to remember that, okay? So come to your Bible. If you're looking for an answer, come to the book. He'll speak. Now look, he says, appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for thou which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus. Now very interesting, you know that they would usually call the son after the father's name. Joseph Jr. or whatever it would be. But he says, call him Jesus. Very significant. Yeshua. He shall save his people from their sins. And it was all done to fulfill what was spoken of. By the way, let me say, the Lord will fulfill his word. God has always fulfilled his word. Not one time in all of history, not one time in Scripture will you find where God failed to fulfill his word. He failed to fulfill his prophecy. If the Bible says it, if God promises it, you can trust it. You can believe it. You can live it. Well, I'm scared to step. The Bible says to do this, but I'm scared. One area that people struggle with is giving, tithing, and offering. The Bible says if you give and you tithe and you're faithful in that, God will bless that. You can't outgive God. Never have you ever outgiven God. He'll always take care of you. And people have trouble. Well, I don't know if I can trust him in that. They step out by faith and trust the word, the promise. God always fulfills it. Don't ever think that you're going to get the short end of the stick in this thing. No, God will take care of it. Notice he fulfilled his word. He took care of these things. Going on, notice verse 24. We'll cover these two verses here and then have some closing thoughts. Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him and took unto him his wife. The obedience of Joseph is something unmatched. There's several people throughout Scripture that had an incredible obedience to the Word of God, an incredible obedience to the things of God. That's lacking today in our world. A lot of us know the Bible, myself included. We preach the Bible, some of us. We teach the Bible. We say it, read it to our children. We have memory verse cards at home of the Bible. But listen, very few people obey the Bible. You have a book that you can obey. You have the word of the Lord that you can obey. And I want to encourage you with that in this season of a bunch of atheistic people that mock the name of Jesus and say all kinds of things against this stuff and make fun of it and say it's all fairy tale and fantasy. You and I can stand up and say, no, we know the truth. Now notice it. He did exactly what the Lord bid him to do. Abraham came home one day from work. He said, Sarah, I've got some news. And she said, well, that's great. This I'm reading out of the Message Bible, by the way. Okay, that's great. Did you get a raise at work? What happened? Did you get that big deal we were hoping to get with the other guy down the road? And did you put a down payment on that house I was hoping you would do? He said, no. The Lord spoke to me. He what? The Lord spoke to me. And he said, we need to pack everything up and leave. Leave? Well, this is where my family is. Leave. This is where everything is. By the way, Sarah didn't say that. She was very obedient. She was very faithful. And they packed everything up. And they left. And she said, Abraham, by the way, where are we going? And he said, what? I don't know. The Lord said, just go this way and he'll tell us what to do next. There's some obedience there. There's some obedience. You walk through the Bible and you see a man up on a hill over there with his three boys, and they've been building this thing. It looks like a giant box. They've been building this thing for 100 years up on that hill. Everybody knows who this guy is. They all make fun of him. They mock him. They call him old Loony Noah. What in the world are you talking about? He's talking about rain falling from the sky. I mean, water coming from the sky. That's ridiculous. What a fool. What an idiot. What a moron. You don't know what you're doing. And it says, Peter speaks of this and calls him a preacher of righteousness. See, we think of Noah up there with the long beard hunched over and just tink, 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 tink. No, Noah was a man, man. He was a preacher. He stood up on a little soapbox that he probably made and he preached every day. You better repent, get right with God. Rain's coming, it's going to destroy the world. Judgment's coming. Yeah, we know. It's obedient. When he didn't know what rain was, God ever spoken to you or told you to do something? You didn't even have a clue what he's talking about. Lord, what? Lord said, I want you to preach. I want you to teach. I said, Lord, I can't say three words in front of people. I couldn't do that. I'd fumble and bumble my way through it. Lord, I don't know. And sure enough, I did, and I still do today. But thank God you're still here. Good night of living. The other day, I watched one of my messages on my phone, one of the preaching messages. I fell asleep. I'm so sorry. Folks, thank you for staying with me. I was sitting in my chair and I'm like, I felt, no, appreciate y'all, but we know that. Now let me close out before I keep going on. Okay. Verse 25, and he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. She called his name Jesus. There again, an indication of obedience. You and I have a great opportunity this holiday season to reach people. To share the wonderful truth, to proclaim the wonderful facts of the Word of God. Isaiah 9:6 says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders. Name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Philippians 2 verse 5 talks about this. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Who, notice, being in the form of God. Who being in the form of God. Thought it not robbery to be equal with God. We know these verses. 1 Timothy 3:16. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Now, I don't know how you can get around those verses talking about the great deity of Jesus Christ. He was not just a son born that taught good things. A movie came out recently, talked about Jesus. They watered down Jesus. They watered down his power. They watered down who he was. And I said this a few weeks ago, but in the movie, he came up out of the water being baptized by John the Baptist, and the Spirit, like a dove, came down upon him. And he said, whoa, now I understand that I am God. Now I understand the full power that I... No. A 12-year-old boy he was standing in the temple confounding the great theologians of the day. They said, how could you know all of this? How could you know all of these things? Putting him to shame. He knew. He knew exactly who he was. From day one, we know this. He was God manifested in the flesh. There was not a day that Jesus failed. There was not a day on this earth where he made a mistake. There was not a day on this earth when he made an oopsie or a coinkydink or an accident. He was God from the beginning, and we know that. And aren't you thankful? We see it. Well, look, I must break this up, and we'll cover more of this next week. But he experienced everything a human being would, if you will. He went through these things. We know that he had a times of disappointment. He had a time where he wept over a loved one. We know all of that. And yet he was still God, manifested in the flesh. The birth of the Lord had a definite impact upon this world. An open letter was sent to the staff of a business just recently, and in this letter it said, "You during this holiday season, you cannot use the word Christmas. Please remember in any cards you hand out at work, it needs to be gender-neutral cards. It cannot mention anything." It goes on, I have the whole letter, but it talks about all the things you're supposed to do. Some of you dear people have to deal with that. I know that at work and school. You got to be careful. I'm not saying go and make a big ruckus and get fired, but I'm just saying you stand your ground and say, no, I will celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Every once in a while, by way of just conclusion here, we ought to remember Joseph and Mary, just real people. Real people. You know, Joseph was a carpenter. You know he didn't make much money. Calloused hands, sawdust in his beard all the time. He was just a man's man. No real high education, probably. You know Mary, young girl. Sweet girl, holy girl, righteous girl. I mean, there's nothing real special about them, but God chose to use these two individuals, and by the way, their character came through. A lot of people are like a tea bag. I mean, you put them in hot water, and what's on the inside comes out. Put in some hot water, I don't know, they fall apart, lose our temper, all kinds of things. Their character showed through and shined through, if you will, in the midst of such a turmoil, a tumultuous time, such a difficult season, if you will, in their lives. And we see they were real people. They endured real things. Yeah, well, it was easy for Mary and Joseph. No, it wasn't. Dear precious girl, 9 months pregnant, right? Riding on that old donkey, mile after mile after mile, get there, hopefully. Lord will provide us. You've got to imagine God's going to provide us an inn. God's going to provide us a hotel room at least. Nope. You ever get that place in your life where you go, Lord, are you listening? Lord. Someone made the statement one time that God knows what you're going through. He's got his hand on the thermostat in your life. And I say, Lord, sometimes, are you sure you know how much I can handle? You sure you know how much heat I can endure? You sure about that? God knows what he's doing. And they trusted him. They kept his ways. I must skip here. Let's get to the last. We see we have victory because of what he did. Today, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Has there been a time in your life when you say, Brother Tim, yes, I've accepted him. Yes, there was a time when I received him. Are you living? Are you not just a Christian in name only? Are you a daily Christian? Are you sold out for Christ? I think there were times in Joseph and Mary's life when they said, you know what, this is too hard. Why? Because they looked around and saw nobody else serving God. They looked around and saw nobody else. No other pregnant girl is having to endure all of this. No other man is having to put up with all this pressure and all this weight put upon him. You ever feel that way? No, we'll take a stand for Christ. Pilate comes and Pilate says to Jesus, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? What should I do with him? The question today is, what will you do with Christ? Everybody had to make a decision about this baby. See, Jesus comes and removes all neutrality between us and God. You had to make a decision. What do we do? It affected the whole government around him, affected all the families around him, affected everything and everybody. And today, you and I know that just to be true. Will you receive him as your Savior today? Will you then, secondly, submit your life to him? No birth has affected the world like Jesus Christ. But for his birth to save us, to have its full effect upon our lives, we must understand we must be born again. You must accept that. You must take it. We'll cover more of this next week, but I want to encourage you with that. Do you know him today? What a challenge to us. If you don't know him, now's the day, now's the opportunity to accept him as your Savior. But if you do know him, like I believe the vast majority of you in here do, are you living a life? No more neutrality. I can't straddle the fence anymore. I've got to make a decision. I believe Jesus. I follow Jesus. I serve him. Come you know what or high water. Okay, we're sticking with him, right? We believe the Bible. We know it. We stand on the word. We trust it. We take it literally. We'll live it. Some things may happen in this new year. I don't know. You may have to make a stand and take a stand for certain things, and I hope you don't, but if it comes to that, we will. Like Joseph and Mary had to stick out and stand out. There were things, there were threats on their own lives, literal threats of death on their own lives, and they say, you know, we'll go ahead and stand. We'll stand. I don't know what decisions you have to make today or this week. If you feel you're in something, in a job, or you're in a school, or you're involved in something like that where it's hindering your faith, it's stopping you, it's putting something, a dark cloud over your walk with God, I want to encourage you to pray about that. Maybe you're in a relationship today of some sort. God bless you and God help you, but you pray about that. If you're married today and it's a little rough, you continue, you pray. God's never an advocate for divorce. You stay together. If you are dating somebody today, I want you to pray about that. You don't stay in a relationship where it's hindering your walk with God. He's first. God help me and lead me. You're in some kind of situation that you're in right now. Say, God, I want to know what you want me to do. I want to please you. Joseph said, I'm willing to give up everything, my job, my business, whatever it is, Lord. And obviously Mary said, Lord, we'll read this next week. I'll do what you want me to do. I'm the handmaid of the Lord. You tell me where to go and what to do, I'll do it. You think about today, having known all of that, we look back now in hindsight and say, oh, okay. They didn't know any of that, did they? They were walking by faith. I must stop there this morning, but I thank you for listening. Are you walking with him today? Are you staying true to the word? Are you seeking his will for your life? If you do, God has great things in store for you today. Amen? All right. Would you stand with me, please, this morning? I thank you for listening so well, and we'll have a few verses of invitation as we usually do. I want to encourage you, however the Lord's spoken to your heart today, right there where you are, would you take some time with him and ask him to help you? Speak to you. If you need to come forward to our altar, that's always open. And especially if you don't know him as your personal Savior. Again, one of us, myself especially, would love to take the Bible and show you how to be saved. A few verses would play, please.